Hello, I'm Kirsty Gallagher, and this is Sporting Roots, the audio series where we explore some of Britain's most inspiring sporting locations and the role that rail is played in helping put them on the map. We want to motivate more people to take a trip to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train so they don't miss out on the well-being benefits of experiencing sports in the real world. You can plan your own journey of sporting discovery by train with National Rail today, because when it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at Britain's most popular sport. The skill and passion it demands is almost poetic. The memories and bonds people make through the sport lasts a lifetime. No wonder they call it the beautiful game. Today, we're exploring the world of football. There's something indescribable about walking into a stadium on match day. The wall of noise coming from the crowd, the songs, the banter. And then there's the pitch, a perfectly kept expanse of green grass in the middle of this tiered monster of movement. And the game itself, it's physical and it's beautiful, almost balletic in its nature. Most football fans can tell you about the experience of their first match in a big stadium, because it's something you can never forget. Football has been around for hundreds of years in one shape or form. The simple joy of kicking a ball and running has kept us playing the sport for generations. In medieval times, villages would get together en masse and separate into two teams with no limit on numbers. They would then attempt to transport an inflated pig's bladder to markers at either end of the village by any means necessary, a far cry from the sport we know today. But some villages still play these early formats of the game. One example is in Workington, Cumbria. Every Easter, the village gathers at Workington Hall Parklands and plays an often brutal game called Uppies and Downies. They now use a ball instead of a bladder, but this ancient sport is a fascinating sight to behold. Brave-hearted spectators can walk from Workington train station in 20 minutes to take in a game. But a word of warning, just don't get in the way. The unpredictable competition can often spill out into the town centre and beyond. It can get pretty intense. The modern game of football wasn't invented and codified until 1863. Many regional teams were founded, and in 1888, 12 of them formed the English Football League. Teams would travel by train to play against each other, relying on the growing network to move from town to town to fulfil their fixtures. The league expanded over the decades to include more teams and divisions. In 1992, the FA and leading clubs broke away to form the Premier League, which is the most watched football league in the world. Many of the teams that founded the original Football League still play in the top flight today, including Aston Villa in Birmingham, Everton in Liverpool, and Wolverhampton Wanderers in the West Midlands. As with most teams in the leagues, their home stadiums are a short walk from their nearest train stations, meaning that people can take in the roar of at least one of the hundreds of league games a year, thanks again to the train. As the sport exploded in the late 1800s, many of the Goliath teams of the English game were founded. Liverpool, Arsenal, and both great teams of Manchester, United and City, all started their march towards league dominance before the turn of the century. My boys are both mad about Manchester United. We go regularly to see them play Old Trafford. The feverish excitement of match day is infectious, and they just can't get enough of it. On the train on the way in, we all get to chat about our favourite players and what the opposition is like. I often marvel at the fact that there would have been boys their age supporting this same team almost 150 years ago. To learn more about those early days, the National Football Museum is based in Manchester city centre. The museum is just over the road from Manchester's Victoria train station and displays important collections of football memorabilia, including vintage boots, historic footballs, and other artefacts. Both of the two balls used in the first World Cup final in 1930 are displayed there, along with a replica of the original World Cup trophy, the Jules Rimet, which was actually made in secret by the FA after the original was stolen. And how could we mention the World Cup without touching on England's historic 1966 victory on home soil? At the original Wembley Stadium, in front of a crowd of almost 97,000 people, Alf Ramsey's England beat Germany 4-2. The heroics of players like Bobby Moore and Jeff Hurst have long been upheld as one of our country's most memorable sporting achievements. In 2007, Wembley Stadium was knocked down and replaced with a state-of-the-art facility that hosts international football for the men's and women's games, as well as multiple cup finals, promotion playoffs, and trophy matches. The stadium has its own dedicated train station, so it's never been easier for fans to watch a live match at this very special venue. Stadium tours are run throughout the year, giving people access to parts of Wembley that are usually reserved for our sporting superstars. Check out the changing rooms, players' tunnel, press room, and even get down onto the pitch. There are also a variety of historical items on show at the Crossbar Exhibition, including the 1966 World Cup final crossbar and some rarely seen winners' medals, well worth making the trip for. No matter who you support, many clubs feature their own tours and museums, including the likes of Liverpool FC and Everton, Celtic Football Club and Rangers FC, Spurs and Arsenal, as well as Wembley. In fact, you can get discounted tickets to world-class football stadium tours across the country with National Rail's Days Out Guide. You can check this out online. But not everyone can be lucky enough to get to big matches, especially if they're held abroad. The good news is that you can still watch football surrounded by passionate supporters at one of Britain's many fan zones. During bigger matches and tournaments, pop-up outdoor areas in cities and towns across the country show the match on giant screens. Popular fan zones can be found at Liverpool One and in Preston Flag Market. Both are just a 10-minute walk from the train station and allow you to take in the carnival-like atmosphere while you watch the match. Although we're still waiting for another England men's team trophy success, the women's team are playing at the top of their game. In 2022, England's Lionesses ended the country's 43-year wait for some silverware. In the final of the European Championships at Wembley Stadium, manager Serena Wiegmann's team beat Germany 2-1, with substitute Chloe Kelly scoring the winner deep into extra time. The team's success has been memorialised all over Britain, with the railways being no exception. Trains were emblazoned with thank you messages to the Lionesses, and the train route between Euston and Watford via Wembley was renamed the Lioness Line to celebrate the team's achievement. And while we're covering the success stories of women's football, now feels like a good time to chat to ex-Tottenham and Crystal Palace goalkeeper Chloe Morgan. Hi Chloe, welcome.
Oh, cheers, thanks for having me on, Kirsty. Appreciate it.
Now, you're a big advocate of getting girls involved in the game. How did you first get started and what were those early days like?
Well, this was very back in the day. I'm probably showing my age a little bit. But, you know, this is before social media, this is before Facebook, before Instagram. And it was basically because there was a few boys on the street who used to play football. And we used to play with those lovely, like, little soft orange and yellow balls. And yeah, I absolutely just love playing. I didn't kind of see a career in it. I just played because I absolutely loved it. And then throughout school, again, we were kind of fortunate enough to have a girls' football team. So I joined that, but that sort of wasn't particularly challenging, I suppose. And then from then, I just continued to kind of play at a very grassroots level. And yeah, eventually kind of managed to find myself in Spurs and we sort of headed into the WSL, which is something I never ever saw, you know, coming in my journey when I first started playing. But yeah, it was basically through just, yeah, street football was my way in.
That is quite the journey. What was it like though when you started at Spurs?
I mean, it was completely different to how it is now. Yeah, obviously Spurs have been the WSL for a number of years now. They've just been in the FA Cup final at Wembley. But back in the day when I started to play for them, we were in the Women's National League, which was Tier 3. And, you know, it was a completely different setup. We still had full-time jobs. You know, I was still I was a lawyer at that time, had just become a lawyer, and was also juggling my career with Spurs and kind of whatever direction that was going to take. And, you know, I was having to travel after work on the train, get into the training ground 3 or 4 times a week. And then obviously, you know, sometimes doing work on the train where I'd sort of missed maybe things during the day. So, it was a really interesting kind of period of time for all of us, because we had so much to juggle. But I think it's been amazing, really, that we had, you know, that fight from the National League into the Championship, and now seeing Spurs in the WSL is something that we're all super proud of.
Football has taken you all over the country. What's your favourite stadium that you've been to, would you say?
I think I've probably got 2 favourite stadiums. One comes from my playing days, and it's a stadium that kind of feels like it has significance for me, because it was a moment in time in my career that we were trying to achieve history with Spurs women. So we were in the Women's Championship. We were trying to get into the WSL. We had to face Aston Villa as our second from last game of the season, and we had to get a draw. And we were working, all of us were working during the day. It was a night game midweek, and we had to get on the train. Still working, some of us. And got to the ground, had this amazing experience, managed to get the draw, which was incredible. Like the atmosphere was absolutely insane. We had friends and family there. And then took the journey all the way back again. And it was just that moment that I think we really realised what we'd done for the club and what we'd created, which was a beautiful moment for all of us who'd worked so hard throughout the season. But I think as a fan, and not necessarily even as an Arsenal fan, but I've got to say that the Emirates brings the absolute vibes in the women's game. I think when you look at what the stadium kind of brings in terms of the energy, the atmosphere, you go along to the games, there's like groups of, you know, women's football community, fans, supporters, families, women, men, all coming together. It's normally always sunny at the stadium. There's always that beautiful smell of hot dogs as you come out of the train station. You've got, you know, the band playing. You've got this really lovely energy at the Emirates. So I definitely think they're probably the best stadium in terms of the women's game.
Tell us, Chloe, in your opinion, how important is it to experience sport in the real world, actually be there?
I think it's super important to experience sport in the real world. I think, you know, so much of sport consumption now is online or it's on screens. And I think some of the best experiences that I've ever had in sport and in my life have been where I've stepped out onto a pitch, where I've been playing with my teammates, where I've, you know, seen fans attending the crowd. I mean, that's a massive one in the women's game, where you know that you're being supported by other people who have made the effort to come out and see you. But I think also being present in the women's football community, I think, is absolutely huge. I mean, you know, being in those spaces, I've made the most amount of friends. I've increased my network in terms of, you know, people that I now go and see sort of up and down the country to experience those games with. And I think, you know, like I was saying before about the experiences that I've had at the Emirates, I mean, you can't replicate that feeling of actually being in a stadium and listening to the crowd and smelling the hot dog vans and things like that, unless you're actually down at the game. So I'd always back, you know, going to experience and consume football in real life, because it's just, I don't think you can ever really replicate it.
Absolutely. There's really nothing like it, is there? Chloe, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Now, one of the best bits about football is you can play it almost anywhere. Get yourself a ball, a couple of jumpers for goalposts, and away you go. And with it being Britain's most popular sport, the grassroots game is everywhere. Towns and villages often have multiple teams at a variety of levels, with many of them playing in the Sunday leagues. Sunday League is the cornerstone of amateur football in Britain, the home of which is in Hackney Marshes in London. This 336-acre site is host to a world record 88 full-size football pitches. Just a 30-minute walk from Stratford International via the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park lies this amazing site. Typically, over 100 matches are played here on a Sunday, and pitches can be booked by teams and individuals alike. So if you want to watch or play amateur football, then Hackney Marshes is a hub worth visiting. Now, it's plain to see that millions of us are head over heels for the game, and the fact that the growth of the sport and the development of our rail network happened in tandem means the two are intrinsically linked. Many teams grew by using trains to travel in the past, and this is just as true today. Marcus Rashford was spotted with his Manchester United teammates travelling by train in February 2023 to attend the Carabao Cup final against Newcastle. It's not just travel stories that have linked trains to football either. When the legendary David Beckham met his wife-to-be Victoria Adams, she gave him her phone number written on the back of a train ticket. He still has the ticket as a memento to this very day. And if you've got your own little Beckhams in the making, his grassroots youth team Ridgeway Rovers are still going strong. The club that also trained a young Harry Kane is just a 20-minute bus ride from Walthamstow Central and runs teams for 6 to 17-year-olds. A great option for any budding England stars of the future. So at whatever level you want to get involved, watching, playing, or learning about the sport, just remember that experiencing the game in the real world can be quite the adventure. Because when it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. Visit nationalrail.co.uk/sportingroutes to discover the rest of our audio series and plan your next journey to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train.